I'm here and I'm totally prepared. Binary Jazz, Balderdash, the podcast version. I'm Gary. I'm here with my pals, Allison and Chris. Allison is a spider farmer. I don't know what else needs to be said about that. And Chris is a nightshade botanist. So they bring a very distinct skill set to our conversations today. The premise of the show is Allison brings a topic. We may or may not know anything about it, and then we talk about it until our screen recording software says you have 1 to many minutes left and cuts us off.
Well, it says one minute. In actuality, it is many. It is somewhere, some random number between one and who knows.
One and one plus. Yes. Something. One plus X. Solve for X. Yeah, so how have you all been?
Same old.
Yeah. I got woken up this morning by my son saying someone's knocking at the door, and we had a delivery of 300 landscaping blocks that arrived at 7:30.
Were you before expecting these landscaping?
Yeah. I wasn't expecting them at 7:30. There is conflicting information because it said that the delivery could happen anywhere between 6 a.m. and 8 p.m., and then when I actually checked out, it said, okay, your delivery will be between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m.
It's a pretty broad window.
So I'm like, surely if there's anything at all that says that they could wait another 2 hours, that they will wait another 2 hours just because, you know, delivery people aren't prompt and on time ever. Mm-hmm. But when the truck came, like, my order was the only thing on the truck. So apparently they have a very slow day.
Are you folks Amazon Prime customers?
Yes.
What's the Prime situation been for you recently? Like, we have a distribution center that opened in Jack's, and it went from like, oh, it's pretty much all 2 day to like processing. Your order will be delivered tomorrow, and then 20 minutes later, someone's beating on my door with an order. It's weird. There's no rhyme or reason any longer.
It's usually a couple of days, but they're building a new processing center by the airport, so I expect it will be much shorter.
I wouldn't expect that. I would expect that they will give you less information now because they have no idea what they're doing with the new distribution center, if my experience is anything like yours will be.
But I also expect that this new processing center near us is just going to enable drone deliveries.
Has your state legislator talked about that kind of stuff or no?
They're all go Amazon, yay. Amazon, all the things. They like bringing business.
Because that's all Utah needs is another big organization that doesn't pay taxes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how we roll.
Yeah. So, Allison.
Yes.
You brought a topic today, allegedly?
I did. My alleged topic, I actually was going to choose a different topic, and then I just decided to switch it like 5 seconds ago. Because my first topic was drone delivery. Thanks a lot.
Oh, damn it.
My topic this week is contact improvisation.
Contact improvisation. Mm-hmm. This is clearly related to electronics, and it is a new protocol for when you plug a cable in. There's actually no transmit receive pins assigned to the cable, so the idea is when you plug it in, contact improvisation happens, and the receiving and sending source agree on what wires they will use to transfer and receive data.
It's an interesting theory, Gary.
3 weeks in a row. 3 weeks in a row. Make note.
It's an interesting theory, Gary. But in fact, contact improvisation is so I, you know, have experience with improvisational theater, and contact improvisation is obviously there's one of the improv games that we played, which was called Freeze Tag, which is not like the freeze tag that you think of when you think of freeze tag. Freeze tag is you're playing a scene, and then somebody says freeze, and then you tag the person who is, and you assume their position that they were in, and then you continue the scene, but you continue a new scene using the two or however many actors in the positions that they are. So you try to catch them in some interesting movement, and then you assume the position of one of those actors in that movement, and you touch them, and then they go off, and then you create a new scene with that, starting with that movement. That explains why you have that movement. That is constant.
So let me tell you everything I know about improvisation, right? Number one, I assume that all improvisation eventually devolves into dirty jokes.
Not true.
Number two, I assume that people that take it seriously look down upon all the stuff that Improv Everywhere does. Those are the only two things I know, and they're probably not true, but they're things I believe. So,
what's Improv Everywhere?
They do some crazy stuff on YouTube.
They do some crazy stuff on YouTube.
Like flash mobs riding the subway in just your underpants. But like hundreds of people then hop on the subway in just their underpants. Like regular shirt.
Or is that just like a flash mob?
Yeah.
In Toronto, it's just like the no pants subway day.
Yeah,
Toronto sounds awesome.
I think that would probably be, I think your second assertion is probably correct. Is that
okay.
Actual improv actors would probably look down on everything. I mean, I've seen some Improv Everywhere stuff that would qualify. Like there's a thing where there is a dude dressed up as Gandalf standing on a bridge, and he's like, "You shall not pass." And they're like, "No, I actually need to get through." Like, "No, you shall not pass." That was pretty funny.
I would love to see that.
We will find the video and put it in the show notes.
I'd also love to see it in person. Just that would be a park bench scenario for sure.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, what's going to happen here?
I could watch this for hours.
I did improv for quite a long time, actually. I was in improv competitions. So that is a thing. There are, in fact, competitions for such things as improvisation. In a different subject, improvisation is... you know, the thing that you didn't touch on when you talked about your understanding of improvisation is also sort of a musical thing. And it also sort of describes my approach, but also the approach of jazz musicians. It's actually the reason why my pseudonym is Jazz Sequence, because of the improvisational elements of jazz and how I identify with them. So, yeah. But that is not contact improvisation.
Maybe contact improvisation has to do with, like, playing drums on various, like, round things, you know? Trash cans and whatnot.
The round things.
See, I think the other thing that I was thinking of in contact improvisation is contact in the sense of, like, your contact list. So it's like address book roulette.
Oh, man.
So you have contact improvisation is when you flip through your address book and you're like, okay, that person, I'm going to call that person or email that person. Yeah. Contact improvisation.
Hmm.
And it's a Gmail add-on where you just say, surprise me. And you just email.
Yeah. Person. Why is that not a thing? I feel like like you could write like a generic letter and just tell Google, like, send someone I know.
I'm feeling lucky.
Yeah. I was thinking of you. Wanted you to know how important you are to me. Hope life is great. Send. Like, you just sent that to, like, some banker you worked with 18 years ago. Yikes.
You're like, I hope all is well with you.
Yeah.
I did picture, like, an old-fashioned Rolodex, though, that you could actually, like,
spin. That was what I had in my head, and then I realized that metaphor doesn't work.
Oh, it still does. I don't know. In my head, it still does.
Actually, I had a bit of contact improvisation in that sense recently when I was trying to put something on my Fantastical calendar, And so I have a contact in my address book because I imported at some point when I got, when I first got my Mac and I was trying to figure out like the contact list situation, I downloaded some app that would sync your contacts from Facebook. So it just pulls in everyone's, and then I figure, okay, well that's good. It'll be like everyone I ever know, never needed to know, and then some extra stuff. So there is a person that I went to high school with named Erica, and Erica has the first three letters shared with my partner Aaron. So I can't do E and then automatically assume that that's going to be her. I usually do ER, which narrows it down to those two people. And then last night, as I'm adding this calendar invite on Fantastical, I accidentally clicked Erica instead of Aaron. And I'm pretty sure that Fantastical creates the like creates the notification and sends it as soon as the thing is saved, when it hooks into to Google. So it's entirely possible that I just invited Erica to some event, which I think is like Brick Slopes, which is like a Lego a conference in Orem, Utah, which is a few miles south of us, next month.
So that's why I unfriended Erica.
Well, even unfriending wouldn't make a difference because she's still in my contacts now. She's like, she's been pulled over. She's been assimilated.
Oh.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, she gets this invite and it's just like, yeah, Chris is really like looking out for me. And like, sounds super interesting. And
how did she know I'm so into Lego?
thinking of all the accidental events I could invite people to. I'd be curious to see how people would respond though. I'm like, I haven't talked to you in 10 years.
Yeah.
But
more like 15 or 20.
This awkward family dinner. Essentially.
Yeah, I mean, it's a thing that I have every single time I add a contact or add an event in Fantastical, because I always do the ER and they always narrow it down that I always need to make a conscious decision. I mean, I could type Aaron. I could just type those other two letters. But, and sometimes I do, but like, you know, it's shorthand. And then it's always a thing.
So Gmail, when you set like create a new account, does not turn on like undo send by default. And I've had to turn on my personal email for years. In the last, 2 years, I've had two jobs at two different agencies and always a Gmail account. And I have like within the first week at both places sent an email and gone to unsend it. And it is not available. So that joker is gone. You know, because like when you're new somewhere, you go, which Steve is that? Which Sue is that? You know, and you send it and you, wait, that was the wrong one. Totally. So,
well, that's
it's a good way to introduce yourself to people though.
That's true. And it's not, that's not even a worst case scenario that you sent it to the wrong.
No.
Like, I don't know.
No. Both were harmless, but. but it's that whole neuroses, right? Like when you're in your first week, you're like, oh my gosh, they all know I'm an idiot now.
That's the time. I like to get it out of the way in that first week. So then everybody...
For me, that's like establishing the pattern, really.
I'm like, if I can't ask questions in the first week, then we're gonna have a problem on the second week.
I have a rule to... Well... My partner has given me a rule, which is to never write email after like 10 p.m. because at some point in the night, like there's no good email that you could write. It's like just nothing you have to say. Can't wait to the next day. And anything that you think you have to say at 11 o'clock at night is probably not something you should be saying.
Now I really want to get like a really ranty, weird email from you. Like I'll check the timestamp. I'm like, 11:23, like something bad. It's true though. I mean, it's the same kind of thing of like nothing eventful or good ever happens after 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. Just go home. Don't, why are you out? Like nothing good will come of this, which you could argue against, maybe, because I think we all have some good stories from that.
Ooh, boy.
But generally, nothing good will come of staying out for no reason.
Yeah, and then time zones play into it as well.
That's true.
When it's 3 a.m. in the Pacific time zone, people on the East Coast that I know are waking up. And I've made those phone calls.
That's when you really want to get those emails. Like, why are you awake? What's happening?
Contact improvisation is when like someone is smoking marijuana. It's like a contact high.
It's like a contact high.
Right. So when someone is improvising, and you feel the need to improv with them, or you're like just a little improv-y as a result of like the secondhand improv.
Contact. Secondhand improv.
I love that you're trying to talk. It's just a little bit. Just a little bit of improv.
Well, it's true. Once you get your first dose of improv, it's hard not to continue the habit.
It's just
not chemically addictive. It's just physiologically addictive.
It's socially addictive.
That's fair. What are we talking about again? coffee, apparently. So, can I tell you my coffee story yesterday?
About dropping it.
Yeah, is that my coffee story.
Is that the
That's
mug?
The mug.
Yeah,
okay. There's a nice little ding, right? I don't know if you can see it, but...
Those of us listening in can definitely see that.
Yep. So I got tires yesterday. 7 tires over the course of 3.5 hours. and dropped my coffee cup. No relation to my frustration with getting 7 tires, but I stood up and launched it and just spread... I mean, It was insane how much coffee came out of that cup. I mean, it was like special effects, like explosive, like gallons of coffee.
It also happened in slow motion, where you could see the cup like sort of tumbling slowly through the air,
and the lid was flipping. So I drop it, and the cup is like it's so empty, it's dry inside, like bone dry. I don't even know how it's possible, but there's like no remnants of coffee inside at all. So I grab the cup and I put the lid on. I walk over to the cashier's like counter. I'm like, I'm going to leave this here. I spilled a little bit. I need to clean up. Like, like she just saw it happen, like a little bit, like a swimming pool of coffee just plummeted into the waiting area somehow. People are like rolling up their pants legs. There's so much coffee. I don't understand.
There's like an external source within. It's like Mary Poppins' carpet bag of coffee.
Yes. And now I wish that existed like anywhere else, so I didn't have to get up off the couch and get more coffee when I'm like, oh, I need more coffee. And maybe if I bang it on the ground, it'll create more coffee. I'm going to try that.
But also, let's go back to like 7 tires. And you, apparently, because I hear that and I know that you don't drive a military-grade vehicle that requires 20 tires.
Nope. I also do not own a semi-truck or trailer, so there's really no reason for me to own 7 tires. I actually only own 4, but I own a different 4 than I thought I was buying. I tried to buy 4 tires, and they only had 3 of said tire, and they mounted those 3, and then the guy came back and said, so we mounted 3 of those tires.
We didn't count the tires.
We're just gonna put the wheel back on, and then you can drive away on 3 wheels, and it's fine.
Can you get it up on 2 wheels and steer home until we find that 4th tire?
So, but you're just replacing tires. This isn't, because you don't have winter tires in Florida, do you? No.
What are winter tires?
Okay.
I might say that. No, I don't have winter tires. Maybe someone in Florida does.
So, not everybody, but a lot of people have, like, they'll have a set of winter tires, and then they'll have non-winter tires.
Can we make this a topic for a minute? So, my guess is winter tires have, like, metal studs sticking out of them to drive on ice, right?
You would actually be correct.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a thing that's legally allowed to be sold?
Yeah.
That seems so dangerous. How does it keep the air in if there's like lead, like metal sticking out
because,
of it? I guess
it's
like inside the ply or something?
It's embedded into the outer part of the rubber.
Wow.
So it doesn't go all the way through. It's just sort of like on the outside in the tread. And they do sometimes, the metal studs do sometimes come off. But yeah, it gives you a... At a certain point, you're going to want to get your winter tires changed because, you know, the studs are coming off or whatever. But it's more likely that you're going to get new winter tires because, you know, the studs are worn down or the studs are coming off than it is that the tread is worn down because.
So do they spark like on asphalt when the times you're not driving on the tundra?
They're not that like, I've ever seen.
They're not like those like really intense like.
Yeah, it's not like you're going.
with like, it's not quite that extreme.
So like a goth necklace is what you're saying.
Okay. Yeah.
Not like a giant punk rock tire.
Yeah.
Okay. Man.
But that was what first came to my mind was when you were like, "Oh, I'm changing my tires." I was like, "Oh, he's taking his winter tires off and putting." And then I was just
it's
like,
a little late for winter tires.
Well, yeah, I was like, it doesn't make sense for so many reasons.
Yeah, so three were down to like the wear bar, and then the fourth tire looked like pristine, but I haven't replaced it, so I don't know if maybe like that corner of the vehicle gets no weight, or I have no idea. But one tire looked really good. I should have kept that one and told him to put the other three on and be done with it. But I wasn't thinking. I was too busy throwing coffee in the air.
in a festive manner, because that's how exciting tires are.
Coffee, confetti, yeah.
Meanwhile, the receptionist or admin person is, you come over and you're like, I just have to clean this up. And they're like, yeah, you are going to clean
that up. She was super cool about it. Like, she came out and helped, and then they had somebody come out with a mop. That mop didn't stand a chance. I mean, it was like that. I don't know why it was that much coffee. Like
paper towel scenario. Okay.
It was. I probably used an embarrassing amount of paper towels trying to clean it up. And the best part was like it fell between all these people that are sitting there, and they're all just watching me. Like, this coffee's everywhere.
Not my problem.
Yeah.
You go clean that up.
Full cups of coffee, being like, that's too bad.
Oh, and so I tried to have some more coffee there, but it's really bad. Shocker. At the car service.
That's not their focus. It's really well brewed coffee.
Yeah, but counting tires apparently isn't either. I feel like that should probably be like in their wheelhouse. Ching.
Oh.
That's so bad. So bad. I was working on a document with a colleague the other day, and it was called it was like we're working on a project and we have some like clarification questions for strategy, and it was called Outstanding Dev Questions. And near the end of the call I said, boy, this document is titled correctly. These dev questions really are outstanding. And it was like, crickets. Finally, one of the PMs was like, just stop, please.
Tumbleweed rolls by. They're like,
we need to have less meetings.
I was thinking like, just the devs themselves are outstanding.
Yeah, right.
Ooh, yeah, I missed that.
Take that one.
Questions for outstanding devs.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not the case. it would be questions from outstanding devs in this case, because it's a complex ball of wax, but still. The questions are outstanding.
Yeah. So contact improvisation. It seems like we would have tangentially like hit the actual meaning of contact improvisation, like accidentally.
Let's expand our thought process and just make sure we've been inclusive on all potential possibilities before we ask for clarification.
I guess the distinction is the definition of contact.
I was thinking improvisation. So.
What? And that's why this is an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
Two paths. So do you want clarification? Wait. How to clarify improvisation?
Yeah. Improvisation is pretty.
Contact, I see the like dual meanings, but improvisation I'm confused on.
Well, I guess it could be like what like vertical are we discussing? I mean, improvisation in the context of acting makes a lot of sense, or music, but maybe improvisation is a technological approach to like returning variables when you have no idea what they should be. Right.
That's not a thing.
Maybe it's, that's not it is the way I work.
I always like, know what
do you have no, then the answer is 7 or 42.
That's not a thing. It's not a way that programs work, Gary. I don't know what software you're writing.
Programming improvisation. I could get behind that though. Just a little of this. Is it, who knows? Is it returning a Boolean or a string? Who cares? Whee!
And that's why we're all PHP devs.
Did you see this? So now we're in the nerd hole. So let's just get way down there. Did you see the tweet from, I don't even remember who it was. Someone posted a WP core function that had potentially 6 return types. 6, at that point, like, you don't have a return type. If you have six return types, like, good luck. You know, good luck.
You could get anything.
And I get it that, for, like,
that
meta.
Right there is. That's contact. That's return improvisation.
Yeah.
Right. So contact improvisation would be when you inject a class, that's the contact. The improvisation is that it could, I don't know.
You know me well enough to know that I wouldn't bring something to the table that has to do with injecting a class.
No.
What's interesting though is that I started writing a plugin, a WordPress plugin for storing your contacts so that there's a universal like canonical contact list, because really like the idea came from the fact that we have this address book, a physical address book with people's actual physical addresses in them. And the problem with that is that people move or people die or like phone numbers change or they disconnect their landline. And then you like scratch out all this stuff. So then you have these people with like these page long addendums of all. And then like you kind of want to have a historical reference of all the different places that people did live. But you don't want to have it like, well, that's not. And you don't want to get confused. And like we have this problem every year where we have like these old addresses for people and we're sending out Christmas cards, whatever. And we have the wrong address. And we have to keep track of whose address we have that's wrong. So anyway. It's called Address Book, and it's a plugin that I was working on. And so contact improvisation is now going to be a new feature where it'll just return you a random person in your address book. Just improvisation. There you go. I'm going to make an issue today.
Cause then it's like, if you want to have a pen pal or you're like a letter writer, then it's like, oh, who do I send a letter to this month? Great. Yep. Bam.
Contact improvisation. Boom.
It's better than the real definition.
I think all of these are better than the real definition. I really like the contact high version of in contact improvisation. I think that's probably my favorite.
Like a little improv. A little improv-y. Yeah, so what is it really?
What is it really? It is a form of improvised dancing. It was developed in the 70s. It's basically like the exploration of how other people's bodies can come into contact with your body. And it can look really, really bizarre as a result. Because it's lots of just like exactly what you might expect, because there's no plan. And so, yeah.
Is there music playing when there's contact improvisation happening?
Yeah.
Because I could totally see this being like done in total silence.
I've seen it done in total silence, and it's even weirder.
Yeah,
I think it would be preferable in total silence. I feel like the music would influence.
Yeah, it'd influence the movement.
The improv, so you take significantly.
Yeah. So like you do it, and then if you don't have the music, then the movements are going to be influenced, probably, I'm assuming, by everyone else. But like it's going to, on a subconscious
by the human
level,
noises, like your elbow cricking,
well,
or
no,
like
it's
that
gonna be like
squeaking
somebody's
sound.
Gonna start,
like,
somebody's going to start doing legs this, make when you, and then yes. Someone else is going to also do something that's similar to that because other people are doing that. It's going to be like a critical mass sort of like mob psychology thing.
Yeah, like they want to mirror the motions that
right.
Their sort of group is doing. But there's like a lot of playing with like falling off balance, finding like balance based on other people's...
That totally describes my goth dancing.
Right? Like... it's a very bizarre experience to watch, I would say. Like, I wouldn't call it a comfortable dance to watch because I think I get stressed out about the improv idea of it, because like so much of it is, it's also because like I get uncomfortable when there are people around, so improv dancing with someone and not knowing what's happening seems like, it's like watching ice skaters where I'm like, I get concerned for them.
Yeah. Is it, Chris, as an improvist, hold on, we're losing a pacifier here. Isn't part of like the concept of improv, like the, like embracing that you are going to feel weird and wacky and uncomfortable. Uh-huh. And that's like to go with that and embrace that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that sounds miserable to me. So not a thing I'm going to do.
The first thing. So when I was in drama and theater, or in high school, like basically the first day, I mean, we basically started and ended with improv, because improv is such an important part of theater, because when you screw up on stage, you need to be able to get yourself out of a hole. So the first thing that we did is, like, you're going to feel stupid. And whenever you feel stupid, you say, "I feel stupid." And then everybody claps, like, celebrate that feeling like an idiot.
Oh man, I should do that when I'm writing code.
I feel stupid.
You know, I already do that when I write code.
I just mumble to myself. I don't really like throw my hands in the air and announce it, but I need a button I can just mash that like posts in Slack, you know? And there'd be sometimes during the day, like, it would post like 27 times in a row as I'm beating on it, you know?
Instead of hair pulling, it's just hitting.
Yeah.
I'm confused. All the time.
That is why, I guess to that end, like, that's why, so pair programming and improv probably is like a lot of similarity there, right? Like, it is uncomfortable to pair program with someone, because you're like, oh man, I can't believe I have to look up this function, or like, what's that syntax? And you feel like a complete like moron, right? And you have to do a lot of programming with someone that is also like feeling a complete moron to realize, like, oh yeah, of course no one has all this crap memorized. Like, that would be ridiculous. What a dumb assumption.
I love seeing,
I mean, I guess,
when people Google. I also just love seeing how they Google things.
That's probably a whole like research program at this point, is how do you utilize Google?
Just what, you know? Keywords?
Mm. Or, yeah, well, yeah, it used to be that I would just type in keywords into Google, but now it can increasingly and I learned this from Aaron, increasingly the types of things that I Google are like actual questions, like the things that you would ask Wolfram Alpha, the things that Wolfram Alpha were built for, where you ask like human readable questions and it returns a human readable answer. Those are the things that, like, I end up asking Google, because I figure, well, somebody will probably have had a question that is something similar to these, you know, to this question. And you actually get pretty good results, generally.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I've started like typing out legit human readable questions.
Yeah.
Lots of existential.
And it's so hard when you like type something, you're like, I can't be the first person that asked this, but it's so general, I'm not sure how to phrase it. And so you phrase it 27 different ways and you get like the same five like responses, just sort of differently each way you phrase it. You're like, what word am I not using that like a normal human would use to search this? And it's like, that's like that thing, like when you go to dry your hands, like in the bathroom, and they have the automatic towel dispenser and it doesn't see you, like, what the hell? Man, that's just...
And there's lots of you being like, I exist, I'm here!
I know, you like tap the mirror, or like you just say hello to the next person you see just to see if they respond, just to make sure. Like, yes, okay. Hey, we reached the part of the show where we answer questions.
Do-do-do. Okay, well, this one plays into it well then. How long have you known your oldest friend? The one that has the longest record of changed addresses.
So I was 16. My buddy Evan lives in Tampa, and he has lived in Michigan, Orlando, Lakeland, Tampa. He's back in Tampa now. There was Tampa several times in that mix. So it's 20 something years.
Doesn't need to be an exact number. I won't be following through with research to back up these.
Start the next episode. Like,
memes.
It was 20 years, 3 months, 4 weeks, 2 days, 19 hours, and 38 seconds.
He doesn't really exist.
No. Ooh, he tapped in the glass.
My oldest friend that I am still actively in touch with is probably Aaron. Mm-hmm. So, but that's, what year is it now? 2018. So, I think that'd be 20 years, maybe 19.
Nice.
Cause we met each other and we knew each other and of each other for a couple years before we actually started. dating, although dating isn't really the right word exactly, because we
knew each other.
Yeah, and we didn't really date. We went on a couple dates, but we've never really dated.
You should try.
It was just like this is happening.
You should go on some dates.
Well, we do go on dates sometimes now, but yeah, we didn't ever really date when dating would have been appropriate.
It's always appropriate.
But you know, like dating is usually at the beginning of the relationship, and like when you're trying to figure each other out, and like we just sat up all night and figured each other out, like in an all night, like in the hallway conversation.
Aww, that's the best.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean that sort of like beginning kind of precludes the dating things. Like when you're staying up all night and talking, then there's really no need to date at that point.
Yeah, you've covered all the conversational ground.
Right. There's no idle chit chat. It's just like we're doing this.
Oh, but when dating is and is not appropriate.
Yeah.
You didn't really do it when it would have made the most sense, but. Okay. All right. On a completely different note, do both of you still have your appendix?
Yes. No. I also have my tonsils.
I do. And tonsils. No wisdom teeth.
I have all my wisdom teeth.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. Brave soul.
It's actually less of a brave soul and more of a cowardly soul, because I don't want to go in and get them removed.
Well, no, if you don't need to, then don't. It's needless. They're not bothering you.
That's the theory that I'm going with.
Yeah. Well, that's what my dentists have always said. I don't know. I lost my wisdom teeth a while ago. Not lost. They were taken.
They were taken from you at an early age.
Wow. Like missing. Wisdom teeth.
Gone.
Good poster.
They're gone now.
Yeah, Chris, I would put it off until they cause you some kind of discomfort.
Yeah.
Because.
Which I have been doing.
Awful. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did successfully for a lot of years, probably longer than I should have.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone to the dentist. When I've gone to the dentist, it's like, oh yeah, these things need to come out. I'm like, no, they don't. Like,
you need to get out.
Humans have survived for hundreds of years without having their wisdom teeth ripped out of their heads, so I think that I'm okay.
Yeah. Well, and some people,
but not one individual human.
Yeah,
I had a roommate, from high school who had 9 wisdom teeth, and I compared
her to extra wise
to a shark, which she did not appreciate.
Yeah, she was extra wise.
Yeah, so her recovery from wisdom teeth was a lot more.
Yeah, no kidding. Holy cow.
Also, I was just like, how do you have enough room for that many extra teeth? I just didn't.
That's like a pound of teeth. That's crazy.
A lot of teeth. A lot of extra teeth. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, my jaw wouldn't sustain 9.
Well, I'm just, I was like, of course they have to come out. Like, what? How are you even being?
I had an extra canine tooth. I had two extra teeth. One came out really easily and one came out with like the bone and
oof.
Oh yeah, it was, yeah.
This is a weird note to end on. I feel like we need to stop.
Remember to flush it from
to flush. To brush, yes, remember to flush.
Brush and floss daily. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Brought to you by dental hygiene. Only floss the ones you want to keep.
See, Chris, floss those wisdom teeth, buddy.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yep. It's still a weird ending.
Yeah.
I have one more question, but it needs to roll over because it's less than a minute.
What if you ask it and we just leave it hanging on the question?
Oh no.
That would be awful.
It would be like ending on like a unresolved chord.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the forum on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.